Session four starts with the next word. It takes focus. All right. So what does that mean? It means I need to major on the majors. That means I need to serve in the area of my greatest giftedness. You need to serve in the area of your greatest giftedness. We've talked a lot about other people and their gifting and making sure they're in the right place. You need to make sure you're in the right place. Look at Exodus 18, 22. They should judge the people at all times. Then they can bring you every major case, but judge every minor case themselves. So we've got to distinguish what you do best and delegate the rest. Distinguish what you do best and delegate the rest. That is what we're talking about. And sometimes we need to delegate things, not just what we don't like, but what we do like. And we talked a little bit about this earlier in the Q&A. We've got to learn to say no, all right? 2 Timothy 1:7, God has given us a spirit, not of fear, but one of power, love, and sound judgment. And so we've got to exercise sound judgment and say, no, this is not what I do best. I was just talking to my assistant literally just 30 seconds ago before we came online, that I was serving on a board, and then I was asked to serve on another board. And when I served on the one board, it was the worst thing I could do. It's just not my area of giftedness, that whole administration organization. I couldn't do it. I was like, no, this is the wrong thing for me to do. So we've got to be able to say no. Ephesians 5, the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And so we have to exercise self-control in this area. We need to learn to say no. And we need to stay focused, not keep our hands on everything, but keep our hands out of everything. And we've got to be willing again to change. And that's what Moses was. He is told now, Moses, just handle the tough cases, just the big things. All right. Yes, you've been trained and experienced and you're wise and everything, but just handle the tough cases. So serve in your area of greatest giftedness. Focus and simplify. Focus and simplify. Again, Exodus 18, 22. Then they can bring you every major case. All right. One of my former seminary professors at Dallas, Howard Hendricks, incredible leadership, man of leadership. The secret of concentration is elimination. What can you eliminate right now from your ministry? What can you do without? What can you hand off to somebody else? Then you'll be able to concentrate so much better on what you do well. What do you need to get off your plate? Andy Stanley on leadership. The less you do, the more you accomplish. The less you do, the more you enable others to accomplish. So allow yourself to accomplish where you're gifted at and allow others to accomplish more in their lives where they're gifted at. So live by this motto, only do what you can do. Let others do what you don't need to do. Only do what you need to do and let others do what you don't need to do. So major on the majors, all right? Here's the next one, extend. Now, what does that mean? Well, we're talking about longevity in ministry. And we're talking about harmony in ministry. Sinking in ministry, drowning is no fun. Swimming should be enjoyable. Yes, ministry is tough at times, but there should be joy in ministry if we're doing what we need to do and others are doing what they need to do. So let's think long-term benefits for you, long-term benefits for your church. What is best for you? What is best for others? Exodus 18, 22. In this way, you will lighten your load and they will bear it with you. If you do this and God so directs you, you will be able to endure and also all these people will be able to go home satisfied. So he's talking about sharing the burden, okay? Have you ever tried to move big, heavy furniture by yourself? Whether it was a big couch, whether it was a washer or dryer, whether I just this past week, I had to move a big wall unit. Well, you know, if I tried using that or moving it by myself, it would have been a disaster. And so I had to recruit, there were four of us, three other guys to move this thing. It's so much easier to move ministry forward with other people. It's hard on us to move ministry forward by ourselves. and it's going to hurt us. It's going to hurt us emotionally. It's just going to hurt. It's going to hurt us spiritually. We're not doing what we should be doing. So share the burden and lengthen your leadership. Look at verse 23. If you do this, so you have a decision to make, Moses. You have a decision to make, ministry leader. I have a decision to make. Are you going to choose to do this? That's what we have to come down to. And he says, if you do, as God so directs, you will be able to endure. So I just want to encourage you, stop moving ministry furniture by yourself. Stop doing it. Get other people around you. You're just frustrating yourself. You just want to quit at times. You're hurting yourself. You're wearing yourself out. Remember again, Ecclesiastes 9, we saw it earlier. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their efforts. Get another person. For if either of them falls, his companion will lift him up. But pity the one who falls without another to lift him up. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So let's start sharing the burden in ministry, guys. Let's start sharing it. And we're going to stick around longer and we're going to be healthier for it. Here's another part. Keep the peace. Look at verse 23. And also, these people will be able to go home satisfied. Can I tell you something about poor leaders? Poor leaders frustrate people. They do. Poor leadership frustrates people. It's kind of like, do you want a satisfied customer or not if you're in a business? Poor leadership is going to lead to unsatisfied customers. You know, it's like going to a restaurant. If you go to a restaurant and there's not enough servers, there are not enough waiters, and food is sitting around and it's getting cold and nobody is there to refill your drinks. It's frustrating. Nobody likes to do that. How do people feel about our churches? How do people feel about the ministries we're in? Is there a lack of what's going on to really meet the needs of the people? We need to recruit. We need to get some more people. And I think there's too many frustrated families. There's too many frustrated attenders. We have too many frustrated first-time guests, too many frustrated members in our ministries. Ministry needs not being met. People falling through the crack. Moses is sitting around all day. The people are standing around all day. Remember the Division of Motor Vehicles. It's you know, the DMV. Businesses are short-staffed. Churches are short-staffed, so to speak. So involve more people. And more needs will be met, more problems will be solved, more people will be reached and taken care of, and there'll be more harmony. There'll be more harmony within your ministry and within your church. And there'll be more harmony within your marriage and your family because the stress and the pressure will be relieved from you and you'll be working smarter, not harder. And here's the next one. Just do it. Just do it. Make the changes. And look what Moses does. Look at chapter 18, verse 24. Moses listened to his father-in-law, did everything he said. Moses chose able men from all Israel, made them leaders over the people as commanders of thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. They judged the people at all times. They would bring the hard cases to Moses. They would judge every minor case themselves. Moses let his father-in-law go, and he journeyed onto his own land. Man, talk about it was worth it. It was worth it for Moses to take the time. It was worth it for Moses to spend the energy. It will be worth it for you, and it will be worth it for me if we take the time to follow these leadership principles. And if we spend the energy, it will be worth it, and we will be grateful. So put the systems in place, the structure in place, the organization in place. Let me give you, for instance, I have five children. Four of my four oldest are pretty much out of the house. I have one who's a teenager learning to drive right now. And I remember when all the kids were in the house and different keys for different cars. And well, it's so frustrating when one car is parked behind another car and then you're running around the house looking for the keys to that car. And is it in their bedroom? Is it in another kid's bedroom? No, you know what we did? We came up with a system right by the kitchen. We have a key rack and all the keys are on the rack. We have structure in place. We have organization for the keys. And so now we're not running around all over the place. Structure helps, not only in a home with your cars, but in your ministry and in your church. And there's no more frustration or less frustration. So I just want to encourage you, don't make excuses. Don't procrastinate on this. The benefits far outweigh the cost of putting the time in, spending the energy, spending the money, whatever you need to do to make the changes. Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. This was humble leadership, and this was good leadership. And I need to be a humble, good leader, and so do you. We need to listen, we need to try, and we need to change some things. And I pray that that's what you're going to be able to do, and do it soon. And again, Moses could have said, nope, I've led 2 million people. I don't need to listen to you. I've met with God on Mount Sinai. I'm going to meet with him, get the 10 commandments and 10 plagues I was a part of. He listened to somebody else. Be willing to listen. And he chose the men, it says, and delegated the responsibilities, and they did their job. You've heard it said, teamwork makes the dream work. And then what happened? Moses waved goodbye. Verse 27, let his father-in-law go, journeyed on his own. Talk about a great visit. Talk about a life-changing visit, a ministry-changing visit. No more drowning. No more sinking. Moses is now swimming. And that's my prayer for you. My prayer is you are going to swim in your ministry, and that God is just going to help you improve your technique. And we have help for those overwhelmed in ministry, don't we? For each and every one of us. When our all doesn't seem to be good enough. And what have we learned today? Let's see what we've learned. We've learned to listen to outside objective opinions. We've learned everything shouldn't revolve around us. That there's always room for improvement. To stop trying to do it all alone. We've learned to educate ourselves and others, to delegate, meaning divide and conquer, and to empower, let leaders lead. We've learned to focus, to major on the majors, and to extend. It extends our longevity and harmony, and to just do it, to make the changes.